Welcome to our Bible study of the Gospel according to Matthew. Today is Wednesday, June 18th, 2025. We'll be meeting here in the NLA Start Meeting Room every Wednesday at 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern. For those listening in on YouTube or Rumble and would like to join us live, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible studies for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. Our study will be about 45 minutes and a 15-minute Q&A for questions, comments, or corrections. If no one raises their hand, we'll continue the study for the additional 15 minutes. If you have a question, please take note of the book, chapter, and verse so that we can easily go back to the verses in question. Let's begin with a prayer. Most holy, gracious, faithful Father in heaven, thy word tells us that Jesus is the Word made flesh, that he is the door, and that no man cometh unto the Father but through the door, being the way, the truth, and the light. We thank thee, Father, for revealing to us this truth, and putting into our hearts and our minds an ongoing desire to learn and do thy will. Father, we continue again in hearing thy word, and ask for thy blessing again as we continue looking into thy word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, last week we were looking into Matthew 25. We went through the 10 virgins, spent quite a bit of time, but I do want to just quickly review the 10 virgins. There's about 13 verses. We're going to read through it and very minimum, very minimum comments on it. And then we'll pick up in, I believe it's verse 14. So, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Now, these 10 virgins, the 10, of course, is the completeness of what God has in view, and the 10 virgins is identifying with the church, both the corporate body and the spiritual body, the body of Christ. And which took their lamps, they were lamp holders, the light holders, and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Of course, that's Christ. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. The oil identifies with the Holy Spirit. But the wise took oil. They had the Holy Spirit in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Now, that's an interesting statement, because the call out to come out of from my people, we went out to meet him, goes back to 2001. The beginning of 2001 was when the people started to leaving the churches, realizing that there were problems. And for quite some time, knowing that there were problems. But nevertheless, then it seemed as if he tarried. But of course, that was all part of the plan. It's a lot more time involved. And he had the whole time period is a period of ultimately 40 years plus 40 years with Israel, so a total of 80 years, the time period of a generation. So he didn't tarry, of course. And I think we read about that. What's that? Habakkuk 2:1. We should read that. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And Jehovah answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So the appearance of tarrying, for those of us who more experienced back in that time period. It's just an appearance, but there was no tarrying. It was all part of the plan. Okay, so while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And then at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps and went forth, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. And, of course, the oil is identifying with the Holy Spirit, which comes from the Word. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. They will not be, let's the word. Let me think here. Let me take a quick look at this. I think it's enough. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah, going back into the original Greek, we saw that it could be understood as to be content, to be enough, to suffice, to be sufficient. So therefore, we can read this in two ways. At least there be not content for us and you. There'll be, of course, argument, disagreement. And inserting the negative into the word, least there be contention for us and you. So that, I believe, is really the best interpretation. I think this was a poor interpretation coming in from the interpreters into the English. And by the way, if you look at the Gospels, and you'll see that you see a lot of events that are mentioned in one Gospel, and then also mentioned in another Gospel, and there's a little bit of a difference in the translation, and that's because there were a lot of people working on the translations, and not necessarily that the one is better than the other. In some cases, maybe that is the case, of course, but it's just from the point of view of really seeing it, and it doesn't really disturb the meaning of things. But to look into the Greek is what we really want to do, or the Hebrew, depending on what we're reading, to see once what other possibilities might be where whenever we come to a place where there appears to be a contradiction, or a place where it's just hard to be understood. And again, sometimes a more cardinal viewpoint might be brought forth in the interpretation, as opposed to more of a spiritual viewpoint. And I think a safe way to look at these things is to really rest on the spiritual side of things and not on the cardinal side of things. Because to be cardinally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life. So, least there be contention between us and you. Go ye rather to them that sell and buy it for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in. Now that's a long period of time, quite a few years. I don't remember exactly. I got to think about that. Let's see, 2000. Yeah, we're looking at about 23 years, as a matter of fact, a 23-year period. And again, the coming out, it was not done in one day. It came over a period of time, a long period of time. In fact, I think there are still people coming out of the churches. People who are waking up and realizing that there's a problem. Anyway, and while they went to buy, no man could buy or sell during this time period, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. We get a picture of that in the ark when God shut the door after, Noah and his family entered into the ark, and of course all the animals were brought in, and the Bible says, and the Lord shut the door. And that was it. And then everybody in the world left outside perished. Afterward came also the other virgins. And by the way, God refers to as days of Noah, so would it be in the days of the Son of Man, or the coming of the Lord. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, truly I say unto you, I know you not. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. Watch therefore. For you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. But we are commanded to watch, and we know the season. We know that we're close, and he does give us a final hint. Of course, I believe we spoke about this before. When man says peace and safety at last, that's the last thing. There's nothing else to be looking for when that point in time comes to the world that man looks and sees, says there's finally peace and safety. And things look pretty bad in the world at this moment, but it's going to transform quite quickly, I think, in the next, I don't know what period of time, but maybe a year, maybe two. But we do know that the end of the generation is 2028. So, in all likelihood, the Lord will be here before 2028. But of course, when we look at time, his thoughts are not our thoughts, his ways are not our ways, and so on. And sometimes we'll see the word immediately, and immediately doesn't mean the next second. It could be quite a bit of time. So again, I don't think we're going to be going past 2028, but we could. And if we do, I don't think it'll be much. But the key thing is that we ought to watch, and the key thing is that information was given to us to know that he is even at the door, that it is ready to happen at any second when man says peace and safety at last, when the world finally comes to peace. And that, of course, is the nations against nations. Okay, Matthew 25, we're going to pick up verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several abilities, and straightway took his journey. Now, these talents, of course, is representing that people's talents. Not that this word means talents. Of course, this idea is given some money to invest. That's kind of the picture. But it also identifies really with what God has given us, what gifts God have given us. You know, some are teachers, and some are pastors, and preachers, and all of us are out there to witness for the Lord. And so for whatever the ability that God has given, that we need to be putting that out there and not to bury it, as we're going to see. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded it with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received the 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged into the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man. Reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strowed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I strowed not, where I have not strowed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should receive of mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, I don't think we need much interpretation over this, except for the realization, of course, that the talents is identifying with the gifts that God has given us in order to bring forth the gospel, to witness to others. And we should be finding ourselves doing that. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty. And this idea of meat identifies with spiritual food. It's the word of God. You know, God speaks of the word as being milk and honey and meat, the bread of life. I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink, the water of life. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked, and you clothed me. You know, by bringing the gospel, they receive, if they be respond and become born again, of course, they receive the robes of righteousness, white linen. I was sick and you visited me. They had sin sick souls. I was in prison and you came unto me. And of course, the prison I think that's in view here is being imprisoned in a false gospel, a place, or you could be even just out in the world too, I would imagine also. But I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Truly I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered or a thirst, or a stranger or naked, or sick or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Truly I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Okay, again, I don't think there's much to really interpret in this. A few words that, you know, I think looking from the spiritual picture, of course, the meat identifying with the meat of the word, and the drink identifying with the water of life and the bread of life, and being clothed the robes of righteousness. Okay, Matthew chapter 26. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Okay, what's interesting here he's telling his disciples he's going to be crucified, and yet it just doesn't compute. You know, it just doesn't compute. And they remember these things after the crucifixion and after he rose from the grave. Then the Holy Spirit gave them remembrance of these things. And the Bible is a lot like that when we read the Word of God. Often, you know, we read something and we just not really computing what God is saying. And then at another point in time, as time goes on, you read over that area again, and all of a sudden it hits you to realize and understand, and you wonder, why didn't I see that before? And the answer, of course, is we weren't ready to see it. Okay, we can look at the Passover by going into Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb. And we know Christ is the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sins of the world. According to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, and we know Christ was sinless, a male of the first year. He shall take it from the sheep, out from among the sheep, and out from among the people, or from among the goats. And of course, the sheep and the goats are together, and it identifies with the corporate body collectively. And he shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with fire. Roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head, his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire, and thus shall ye eat it. Now fire, of course, identifies with judgment, and this idea of roasting it with fire, of course, again identifies with judgment, and this, of course, is the judgment upon Christ on our behalf to pay for our sins. He took on that punishment for us. And of course, the unleavened bread, he is the bread of life, and we eat of his bread and eat of his flesh. And of course, unleavened bread is the picture here, because we know that the Bible teaches us that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And he said, beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees. And then he explained to them, he talked about their doctrine. So the bread of life is to come without the doctrine of men. And when men add their doctrines, their interpretation onto God's word, then that's a scriptural violation. And of course, they're in danger of the judgment. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt. And Egypt identifies, of course, with the world, and it identifies also with the church at some point in time, but because it relates at some point, the church becomes more of the world than it is of God. But Egypt identifies with the world. The land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am Jehovah. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to Jehovah throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Okay. So, of course, this is a picture of really the end of the world and judgment and Christ coming in judgment. And those of us who are covered by the robes of righteousness, by the covering that Christ has given us, anyone who is not covered with that and has not participated in the eating of his flesh and the drinking of his blood, which he really is identifying, of course, with studying his life and learning the spiritual things that come upon those historical parables. Christ is the Lamb of God, his flesh is the bread of life. John 6, verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. And, and again, if we go through the Gospels, we will constantly see Jesus saying to the people, your faith has made thee whole. Your faith has made constantly. Whenever anybody approached Christ in faith and in belief, it is the faith, the faith which is counted to us for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and that was accounted to him for righteousness. And we believe God, and that is accounted to us for righteousness. And the Bible teaches by one man's sin came into the world, one man's sin will be taken out of the world. He being referred to Christ as the second Adam. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from the heavens to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And of course, that's Christ. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you, that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which cometh down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not amongst yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Okay. And of course, it's the studying of the life of Christ, the spiritual picture of we seem to look and understand that the penalty of sin is death, and the death that God has in view is hell eternal, and that Christ came into this world to give his flesh, to give his body, to become a man, to live a perfect life, an unblemished lamb, as we saw as the picture. To pay for the sins of his people. And, of course, it was paid for by the blood. So there's life and death. And blood identifies with judgment. Okay, Matthew, now I'm back to Matthew 26, verse 6. Now when Jesus saw in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye this woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Truly I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. Okay, and we do know that when Christ was crucified and then they buried him, and the next day was the Sabbath, the Old Testament Sabbath, the seventh day, and then on and so it was the next day, the beginning of the Sabbath, as it had to go at the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn for the first of the Sabbath, the New Testament Sabbath. Christ changed it from the seventh day to the first day. And that's recorded in all four Gospels, by the way. So that's a total underscore to look at the language to understand that, you know, that Christ has changed that. You know, there is a group of Christians that still worship on a Saturday. They call themselves Seventh-day Adventist, I think they're called. And I don't think there's a big deal or error with that error, you know, that's going to, you know, if they have a relationship with Christ, then they have a relationship with Christ. And the Bible does tell us that whatever day a man deemeth to be unto the Lord, then it's unto the Lord. And so really, you know, if you deem a one day holy and you're giving it unto the Lord one day a week, and you're following the scriptures, even though it may be an error, we're all full of error. If we're saved by, you know, being correct only, then we're all going to hell. Okay, so the thing, I don't know that I understand the spiritual implication of this ointment, but I do know that that they did not have time to prepare his body after he had died, so they laid him in the tomb and was to come back on that first day of the week, which was a Sunday morning. And he says here, you know, this is for his burial, knowing, of course, that he's not going to have this ointment put onto him, which is part of the process of the burial. And to be anointed with the oil and then laid into the tomb. So they came back to do that, and that opportunity never came. So, again, that of course, turns out to be a prophetic situation. Again, here's a prophecy. Ultimately, it's for his burial, because he wouldn't have it otherwise. But there's a deeper spiritual meaning here, and I'm not sure what that is. Okay, verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now it's interesting here, it's 30 pieces of silver. The number 3 is in view, and of course 33 times 10 is 30. So the number 10 is in view. It's the completeness of whatever God has in view, particularly with that number 3. And I mention this now because later on when we get to the cross, we're going to see that there's a lot of 3s around the cross. And the 3 always identifies with the purpose of God. So he's 30 pieces of silver, and from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Psalms 4, 41, verse 5. A prophecy. Mine enemies speak evil of me. And this is Christ speaking. And this is the prophecy. But when shall he die and his name perish? And if you come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to himself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. But thou, O Jehovah, be merciful unto me, and raise me up, that I may requite them, or to repay them. Matthew 26:17. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread came, and again, unleavened bread, we've looked at that. Let me see, we probably have some verses here we should take a look at. Okay, and I'm pretty sure we looked at this before, but I'd like to review the leaven. And it's important that people realize this, because leaven identifies with false doctrine. It identifies with the doctrines of men. We read in Matthew 16:6, and Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves, the 5,000, and how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and the scribes. Okay, and then we'll look at a couple more here. Mark 8:15, and he charges them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. One more we're going to look at, Luke 12:1. In the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Okay, and a little leaven at the whole lump, 1 Corinthians 5:6. Okay, so now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, truly I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. We read in John 6:70, Jesus answered them and said, I have chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. He spaketh of Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Verse 22, Matthew 25. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had never been born, or had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, thou hast said. We read in John 13:16, truly, truly, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, truly, truly, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one of another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give sup, when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sup, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after sup, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, Thou that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew what intent he spake unto him, for some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things which we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, receiving the sup, went immediately out, and it was night. Okay, back to Matthew 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, Take it, eat this, is my body. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it them, saying, Drink, ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. 31. Then said Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And again, here you have a situation. Jesus is telling him he's going to rise. He's told him he was going to be crucified. And they're just not getting it. They realize it, of course, after the fact. We read in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1, In that day there shall be a fountain opened into the house of David, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith Jehovah of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets of the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed, every one of his visions, when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am a husbandman. For man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thy hand? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith Jehovah of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith Jehovah, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but one third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, It is my people, and they shall say, Jehovah is my God. Okay, we know that the Bible speaks of this one-third, two-thirds relationships constantly. Of course, one-third plus two-thirds equals a full one. Okay, it's broken up into three parts. This idea of fire, of course, is judgment, and the fire will refine them as silver. And, you know, when you put silver or gold and it's tried, when gold and silver is tried in the fire and it's heated up to the temperature where it would melt, then all the impurities rise to the top, and of course it's skimmed off, and then it cools down, and it's done again and again and again. The more times it's done, the purer the silver or the gold becomes. And of course, that is a picture of the people, of the body of Christ, those of us who at some point in time are unsaved and are going to become saved. And it continues on, of course, you know, making us purer and purer. which is really the picture. But the two parts, and this comes up in Revelation a lot, there's a one-third, two-third relationship there. But that one-third, of course, represents the body of Christ. The two-thirds represent the rest of the world. And you break those two-thirds into two one-thirds, and you have those that are unsaved in the corporate body and those who are unsaved outside of the corporate body. One-third and one-third is two-thirds. So two parts thereof shall be cut off and die. But the third part, the other part, which is one-third, identifies with the body of Christ, that I will bring the third through the fire, through the testing, through the judgments, and will refine them as silver is refined and as gold is tried. They shall call on my name. They are Christians. I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, Jehovah is my God. Peter denies Christ three times. Now here's where the threes come in. And we saw the 30 pieces of silver. And all of this is identifying with around the cross, around the crucifixion, around what Christ, the purpose of what God came into this world to do, was to die for sinners like us, to pay the price. We read in verse 33, Peter denies Christ three times. Read in verse 33, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus saith unto him, truly I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the other disciples. So there's the number three again, around the crucifixion, around Christ as he's going to the cross. Jesus prays three times. And again, three identifies with the purpose of God. Whenever we see three in view, we need to be looking to see, well, for what purpose does this play as far as playing for the purpose of God, which was to come into this world to die for sinners like us. So, verse 36, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Now this is the hour of judgment upon Christ, and in the end of the world is an hour of judgment upon the church. In 1 hour is she made desolate, the harlot. Okay, anyway, getting back to this, could be, watch with me 1 hour. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. So again, the number three, Jesus prays three times. And this is his final prayer. This is in the garden. Jesus prays for his own. John chapter 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept my word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have the joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou should givest them, thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their work, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I gave them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that thou also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth to his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into which he entered, and his disciples. Now, I may have just made an error. This might have been a prayer he said before what we had read a little earlier, but I've always been under the impression that it was the last prayer. So it might have been before he went and prayed the three times, if God, the Father, would remove the cup. And I'm seeing this probability, let's see, when Jesus has spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook of Cedron, where was a garden. So he's now going into the garden into which he had entered in his disciples. All right, so I was in error with the timing on that. Okay, 1 John, and this brings us to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Okay, back to Matthew 45, 25 verse 45. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doeth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude, with swords and staves, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take up the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot pray now to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour Jesus said to the multitudes, Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temples, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Okay, we're going to continue to finish off this chapter here. We only got a few minutes, so we'll be a few minutes over. But we're going to continue with the three. Jesus was tried three times. Okay. This is a trial before the high priest. First of the three. Verse 57. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses, and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God, and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest rose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, He is guilty of death. Then did they spit on his face and buffeted him. And others smote him with the palm of their hand, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is it he that smote thee? Peter denies Jesus three times. Verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not that, what thou sayest. And when he was gone out onto the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him, where the them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus which had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Okay, it's 6:30, so we didn't go over. All right, we'll pick up on this next Wednesday. We're going to start and picking up on Matthew chapter 27. Good night, everybody.
Good night.